This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
WEEI Afternoons back here live on the Dean College stage.
Running into old friends out here.
Yeah. Apparently, Ted Johnson once entertained people for 45 minutes at Logan Airport.
That's
kept
what I
everybody
do.
Happy.
What'd you do? Juggling or?
I, you know what?
Bobsled soft shoe.
What the entertaining looked like? I'm sure I was baffled.
Stories.
Let me guess.
Emmitt Smith was involved.
They shouted out a name, and Ted told a story you've never heard before. I know this. I know this game.
Oh, Kim Basinger. She and I once shared a steamy embrace in an airport.
I went to Vegas with no tickets, and then I met Bono, and he said, "Come to the show tonight."
It's always something.
Andy knows me. He's gone on a trip with me.
Yep.
It's like there's times when he's looked at me as if to say, Ted, will you ever shut the heck up?
There was a little bit of that in the little airport in Green Bay.
I was excited.
We were delayed, and I was like,
is end of the trip?
Can we stop? Yeah, on the way back. Before spending a night we weren't supposed to spend in Chicago, whole thing.
The same
so thing. That could have played into like, okay, shut up. Stop with the story.
You love stories.
I'm a big fan of stories.
But, we are.
Storytelling is big where I come from.
We are here in the buzz of Patriot Place, Tom Brady night. Patriots preseason opener against the Commanders.
And
everybody's excited.
Some very special smoke
people
around
are
me right
pre-gaming
now.
In different ways, drinking, smoking maybe, different things going on. We are at the Dean College stage outside of Citizen Crust Pizza Place. But it is 5 o'clock, and as we always do here on WEEI Afternoons, that means it's time for The Drive.
This is The Drive.
Swings and drives one. High and deep.
Top stories, stats, and quotes from around the sports world for your ride home. On WEEI Afternoons.
Brady night.
Not what they said.
Yep.
Nope. Not what they said.
Sammy Hagar, big fan of Brady.
Is that true?
Yeah, I don't know.
Cabo Wabo, whatever is.
Cabo Wabo. Like one of the best tequila producers in North America, Sammy Hagar.
What are you? Look at you knowing your tequilas. Anyway, we're going to start with football, Fitzy. I know we've been battling. There's been this like tug. Is it a football night? Is it a statue night? Is it nostalgia? Is it future? Is it that? We're starting football. Ted's bigger, so we appease him and start real football talk.
You know what it reminds me of, actually? I'm going to dip into the movie well, sci-fi, which is, of course, your favorite.
72 years ago, of course.
This is like one of those requels, like a movie like The Force Awakens where you like, you know, the one where, spoiler alert, Han Solo dies. It's like you bring a little bit of the past for fan service or member berries, but then you have new characters. Rey becomes the next Jedi, you know what I mean? Like this is one of those like crossover events like here comes the past, you have some connective tissue, and now the future can take off.
Bingo.
Thank
you. Ooh, that even landed with Ted Bingo. Johnson.
Bingo.
Heck yeah.
There was just like a peace treaty coming together.
Bingo.
Love it.
We got it.
Okay. So I'm going to start with my player to watch tonight, and it's kind of the obvious one dovetailing off of the story you just told, because if Tom Brady is Han Solo, then Drake May needs to take off with whoever the next Han Solo is.
Drake May Ray?
Drake May is the guy that matters than anyone in Gillette Stadium, more than Vrabel, more than Kraft, more than anyone for the next 3 years, because if Drake May doesn't take the steps that he's supposed to be taking, the year two jump, the Orlovsky loves him, Peter Schrager loves him, all these things, if he doesn't start that process,
I'll get pie in my face too.
Yeah, and then you'll be resetting, and then you'll be like, oh shoot, do we not have a quarterback? You're one of those teams that starts to wonder, and you don't want to be in that in-between land of, I think the Jaguars went down this road, oh, I'm going to give the guy $270 million. I'm not sure if he's really that good or really worth the money. Right. So Drake May.
Worst place to be, sorry, to not know what you got in your quarterback.
Correct.
4 years into his tenure.
I want to start knowing tonight that in year two, forget the O-line, forget the this, that, and the other thing. The quarterback is the superstar. So to me, whether it's three plays, whether it's 10 plays, one series, two series, hopefully two series so I get a little sampling, Drake May needs to be the positive story tonight.
Andy, when the first Patriot Monday here on WEEI interview takes place this coming Monday, and you are talking to Drake May for us.
Yeah, I need a box to stand up.
Two boxes, maybe two apples, as they say in the movie industry. It's okay. They're only 6 inches a pop. He's a big boy. What are you talking to him about? Let's just sort of like take a peek. Are we talking about, I felt good, it was great to be out there, it was not like I felt the love and the buzz from Brady night, I felt good out there against the Commanders.
That is a great point, Nick Fitzy Stevens, that I hadn't thought of, because as you guys know, I struggle with the
English language.
Nope. just the BS mode, the faking it. Like,
I know.
You know, we're doing an interview with Drake May on Monday.
Yep.
If he lays an egg tonight in the first two series, I'm sorry, I got to ask about the egg he laid on Friday night in front of all those fans. Were you stressed because Brady had a statue? What the hell's going on? Why do you keep throwing picks when you step on Gillette Stadium turf? So to avoid that interview,
yep.
I'd like him to help me help him avoid that interview. Don't do it.
Yes.
Don't go out there and make mistakes.
Yes.
And that's where, Ted, I have confidence in Josh McDaniels to kind of facilitate
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and I was at the interview, I would probably go a little bit more of a big picture, just kind of yep. camp and so far in your second year. What's your leadership? I'm curious just to
yep.
see how his leadership gets developed. You know, Vrabel's kind of – he's been working on it in a indirect way when he encourages Drake to celebrate with his teammates after a big, you know, play. He wants more, I think, him to be more open and more vocal. And so he's trying to teach him to be a better leader. So I'm curious to see how that manifests, what that looks like from the, you know, from the stands.
And I want to know – you know, when does he know something clicks with a receiver, with a running back, with somebody on the field? How many reps does it take? How many completions? You know, when does he just know, like, hey, because we're obviously all been talking this week, like, he and Hunter Henry, they got a thing.
Yep.
He and Pop Douglas, that looks like it is now officially a thing. When does he know, and what does it take for him to know a connection is happening and there's chemistry involved?
Yeah, that'll be interesting. Especially, I mean, certainly the guy that you wonder about that with is Stephon Diggs. Is he supposed to be the number one receiver? We've talked a little bit about joint practices in camp, drill start, go to Diggs, kick things off. Does that continue on a game field if Diggs is out there with him? And what is that rapport like? And then the flip side of that is true because Diggs has a little bit of a negative history with quarterbacks in terms of he can be a guy who needs to be managed a little bit with yeah. his expectations of how often he's going to get the ball or when he should get
yeah.
the ball.
And I think him and Steph Diggs kind of had a connection early on in camp, and that is kind of tailed off
yep.
in the last week or so. So I'd like to see him. You know, when you know what you can kind of consistently depend on it, Fitzy, it's when you do it multiple times to multiple opponents. So, you know, you have your own defense that you go up against. Then you play Washington's defense. Now they're going to play Minnesota's next week. Can they do it against, you know, consistently against different competition? Then they'll have faith and trust in each other. And honestly, as much time as you can spend with each other outside of football, the better. That just trust comes naturally and more easily if you kind of spend that time together off the field. It just trust me, it works better if you do that.
Maybe that post Drake May wedding receiver camp bonding trip that he put on for a couple of days that Pop Douglas told us
yeah,
about.
There was value in that.
Now, next week, you're going to be going out to the Twin Cities for a couple of days. And you'll be yeah. going up against another NFC team that could very well have Super Bowl aspirations, depending on the level of play and maturation of J.J. McCarthy. You know what? Go out. Have some Juicy Lucy's. Go check out this. Go to St. Paul. Check out the Twin Cities. Like, and also get out there and gear up for what should be some hard-nosed practices together.
Yeah, those are not going to be easy next week. Brian Flores' defense, like, that's going to be a step
these
in
are
the process.
Jonathan Grenard is – I think he just came in at, like, number 50 on the NFL top 100. He's one of the best pass rushers no one's talking about.
These two teams that they're doing joint practices against to start preseason, good. Invaluable stuff.
Yep, good lumber.
And it's good to – you know, you don't want to get to the difficult stuff when the games count. Like, you might as well get it out of the way and get yourself ready.
Right.
So I think we can all agree that the top player to watch tonight will be Drake May.
Without a doubt.
Who's next? If I said somebody
Will Campbell.
Yeah.
It's the next guy I'm most curious. I want to see what Will Campbell looks like. I haven't seen as much of him in practice, and I'm just curious to see what does he do against a blitz, an overload blitz, a two-man stunt, a three-man stunt. You know, does he have false starts? I'm just curious how competent he looks playing left tackle because, let's face it, his camp so far has been up and down.
Yep.
And so there's a lot of people that are maybe questioning the you know him long term at that position.
Did you guys see as part of the preseason football last night? Did you guys see the play that was heavily scrutinized? But a lot of the quarterbacks and people that knew ball came out on the side of, ooh, that is not the right tackle's fault. That is Anthony Richardson's fault. Did you see the play where he got blown up, got a concussion last night in Colts versus Ravens?
I did, but why don't you tell everybody about it?
Okay, so Anthony Richardson takes a shotgun snap and immediately has two hot routes available to him on the right side, a running back and a receiver who peels right off. Richardson turns and looks left. There is a free release of a blitzer off his right side, the left of the right tackle. The right tackle picks up a linebacker blitzing straight up to his center path. And so this guy has free release. And everyone immediately jumps into as this guy just labels Anthony Richardson, no small human, drops him into the ground, concussed, could be dinged up for quite a while. Everyone, oh my God, worst offensive line play I've seen. You can't have that. I'm sure some Pats fans are like, oh God, hope Morgan Moses doesn't do that. When in fact, this was the quarterback, and this is why I talked about why it's so important for Drake May and McDaniels to be hive mind and also working with Doug Marrone and know, look, if we're going to let in a guy that fast, you check your two hots, get it out there, or just boot and run and take away. Don't ever take a hit like that. That was brutal, Ted.
I did see him. He's making more audibles. He did not have the liberty to make a lot of checks at the line of scrimmage last year. Whatever the play was called, that's the play we're running. Right. And now you see him up there. He's check, and he's motioning guys, and he's moving guys to get into a better situation so they can avoid breakdowns and protection.
And that's McDaniel's whole philosophy and why it's difficult is I give you the answer for every situation. You just need to be smart enough to know you need the answer and execute the answer. But that's a lot of answers. There's a lot going through your head, adjustments, being on the same page with your center and your lineman and all those things. But the theory is, in his whole offense, is the reason it's hard is because if you really get it down, you know what to do every play. I don't know where Drake May is in that evolution, and he probably doesn't right now, right? Until they start throwing crap at him and seeing how he reacts.
Just got out of the starting gate.
Right. But, you know, that's important, too, is to just observe him. And I guess that's sort of the next question is, what does a successful game look like tonight? Like, what is it, you know, I know the first thing for every coach is healthy. Everybody walks off the field. Everybody's ready to go at practice next week. You don't get anybody dinged up. But beyond that, what does a successful game look like?
Clean operation.
Yeah.
You know, so from an offensive standpoint, no false starts, no pre-snap penalties, in and out, no delay games. Just from an operational standpoint, look competent, look good. You know, to me, just completions. You know, it doesn't have to be anything. Yeah, you just look like, you know, like you can move the ball a little bit. I'd like to see Drake May at least for 10, 15 plays.
Absolutely.
That would be, to me, ideal. That gives you a little bit of a taste, if you will. And I think he needs the work.
Yeah,
I think it would be dumb not to play him in these preseason games. So I just think, you know, no blown assignments, look efficient, get in and out of the huddle, no pre-snap stuff. That's kind of what you really want to see be executed at a high level in this first game.
Andy, can I also just say, guys, like, I have missed everything that's going on right now. Like, this is a preseason game. And, again, we talked about the fact that it is the confluence of the Brady ceremony and also year two EEI afternoon. Huge, absolutely huge.
Ted Johnson signing appearance.
Yeah, my God, the line alone. But just the fact that we can all tell, like, Andy, we've been here in various aspects. Ted, I know you moved the area back to the air a while ago, but you've been down here a bunch. Have you felt like it? We haven't felt anything like this in a while, have we?
No.
Season games. No, there hasn't been anything like this since 2021.
Well, because the hope is, I think, more valid. We've tried to talk ourselves into certain things.
Correct.
But there was a certain reality to that you were talking yourself into it. Now, I think because of Vrabel, because of May, even if you're a New England fan,
yes.
Have you noticed that it's almost like you're getting out super fanned by national people. You're like, I love Drake May. And then you watch Pete Schrager or Orlovsky, and you're like, wait, he likes Drake May more than I like Drake May. Like, the national guys are almost making you,
right,
you know, seem not so much a super fan.
I think a big part of it, let's face it, if Gerard Mayo was still the head coach of this team, would there be a...
No.
So you go, okay, so Vrabel's...
No.
Vrabel is a...
He's a star, Ted.
He is... Well, you know what it is? Did anybody in the media see hiring Vrabel as a negative? Like, one person?
No.
Did you hear one person say, you know what, not a good hire?
There was a little, teeny, like, that wanted an offensive coach, Ben Johnson.
But little, teeny,
very
tiny.
Little.
So my point is they hired a guy that the entire Boston media corps, like, corps totally backed and signed off on.
Yep.
And so it's for the fans, you know, and they're constantly hearing – you know, how us talking heads think, how great of a hire it is, it inspires the fan base and gets them more excited. And I think that's a big reason why people are so into the Patriots
and
this year.
As much as he could, he's validated it in what he's doing in the offseason.
Agreed.
That's only so much you can do, but he hasn't stepped in it. I would say, what's the biggest mistake Mike Vrabel has made since he was hired in January? So he's had 8 months to...
That's a good question.
Because I can tell you Gerard Mayo stepped in it many, 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 many times.
He stepped in it 5 minutes
January.
Into it.
So what is Mike Vrabel's biggest mistake? Because... It's one of those questions I'm asking because I
there's
don't know
one,
the answer.
There is possibly one thing, and it's going to take us a while to figure out what his biggest mistake is or could be, and that's did he fall in love preemptively with Will Campbell?
Yeah, but I don't – that's a talent evaluation.
Give me two or three options they would have had.
That's the only one I could think of.
I will say I looked ahead. Look at me doing some 2026 draft research. Did you know they're already projecting left tackles to go in the top 10 picks? Next year's draft class loaded.
I guess who's not going to be picking in the top 10?
Not this team, but if they need a tackle, they might be picking in the top 10 because of the way the tackle
Where did Calvin Banks go, by the way?
It's an interesting question. Like, what is – I can't think of anything that Mike is kind of, at this point, done that warrants criticism.
Right. With Mayo, we knew immediately, you probably shouldn't have said burn some cash.
I don't see the whole racism thing.
Or, you know what? We don't want to start practice this week. Right. That extra week of practice, we don't need. There was a bunch of them.
I don't know why that was one of my biggest pet peeves.
Because it was stupid.
You have a new coach, and you're starting the offseason program a week late.
It was the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Like, you need the time. That's why the rules allow for you to have the time.
I thought that was embarrassing.
For you, it was, and it turns out it was indicative of where things were kind of going. Anyway, we're going towards Fitzy's story of the night. That is Tom Brady, the statue. And before we get into the discussion, the Patriots put out a little promo video clip. We'll roll that now.
Last year, we commissioned a local sculptor to create a larger-than-life bronze statue to perpetuate the legendary legacy of the great Tom Brady.
They have completed the greatest comeback.
It's gotta be perfect, all right?
What a throw by Brady.
We are not finished, son.
It is the honor of my life to be officially enshrined into the winning legacy of this amazing organization.
Yeah!
I am Tom Brady, and I am a Patriot.
And a Raider. And the head of PB12.
Fit that in there, don't you?
And a Fox color commentator.
And a card shop owner.
And a card shop owner. Please buy my cards. Yeah, there's a lot.
And a Premier League owner. Yeah.
And a Premier League owner.
WNBA.
Oh, that's right. Birmingham City got elevated.
Yeah. Please watch the documentary. People are mad at me about some of the things I said.
He was a little. We're talking about that next week.
Yes, we are definitely going to talk about that. But for the here and now. I know, Ted, you can sit this out if you're statued out.
I'll sit right here.
If there's a statute of limitations on your comments here. But I know, Fitzy, you are very excited. You have your TB12
credential. Where's hands? Look where his hands are.
Yeah, but I don't even have to use my hands to hold up my lanyard.
Oh, boy. So you got your credentials. You're going down
okay,
there.
Okay. All right. That's enough.
What are we expecting from, first of all, Robert Kraft?
Yep.
Is this a weird night for Robert Kraft in that?
Oh, this is a great. Are you kidding? All of his businesses are jammed. You can't get a seat at Bar Louie, Citizen Crest, or anywhere
his fifth
else.
Son.
Yeah.
And also saying goodbye to his fifth son.
Well, this I'm is it.
It's not going anywhere.
This has got to be it.
Yeah. No,
this has got to be the last time you can.
No,
you
there's
know.
No more. There's no more. We're not doing any other celebrations.
Tom Brady giveaway night. Show up.
What else
is there? Commemorative
Stein. What else? Does Tom Brady have an Oktoberfest?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, I'll participate. Yeah,
that's what it feels like. Minor league giveaway, ballpark.
We agree. This is the passing of the baton. This is the night where Brady doesn't recede into the backdrop. He says, "Okay, thank you, everybody. Now I have my place outside the stadium where I led you to 6 Super Bowls. Well, the other one got blown up, but it was a dump anyway. But it was our dump, Ted, right?"
Of course, baby.
The other one, Foxborough, was our dump. Right?
Oh, I love playing in that stadium, though.
Did you
really?
Oh, absolutely loved it.
What about the locker room and everything else?
You know what? Didn't mind it as long as the field experience was the way it was.
Yeah?
Give me the old Foxborough Stadium over this new one all day.
Oh, wow. All right, good. But then now, it's Drake's time with Vrabel, and who better than somebody who played against Tom, who played alongside Tom and was part of the iron that sharpened Brady's iron, to then take the baton and run with it. Like, that's why I think this is such a poignant night at the same time as well. And as far as the statue goes, all right, I know you don't feel the same way.
You know what?
I'm a little more romantic in that.
Can I just put this out there?
Go ahead.
You know what would be nice?
Sure.
Is if there was a little more of a relationship between Tom and Drake.
Yeah, but that's where the weirdness gets in because Tom's the owner of the Raiders.
I know.
You know what I mean?
There's a conflicting thing with me with that. Like I wish he was like Ortiz
and
is
still
the
a member,
Sox,
you know? An ambassador.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's because I was
as long
thinking,
as it's not Ortiz and Devers.
The WWE in me just thought, like, the coolest moment you could ever have, if this was like a WWE pay-per-view, the revealing of the statue when you pull the curtain down. It's not a statue. It's actually Drake May standing there like, I'm the next Tom Brady, and this is the next generation.
Oh, I thought
Wouldn't
you
were, that be awesome?
Well, how about this for a work? That they pull the curtain on the Brady statue. You see it. Brady speaks for 2 minutes. Rips off his jacket. It's a Raiders jersey. He grabs hold of a rope from a helicopter, flies away.
Well,
and then
that's where
just like, you don't want to, Tom Brady.
Do we want to go there? Why isn't Brady a Patriot owner? Why didn't he get a little offering of a minority stake in the team?
Because that's a closed circle of Kraft family.
Well, if you really wanted to ensure Tom Brady's legacy here, you would have given some ownership stake.
He's pretty well entrenched in the hearts and minds of Patriots Nation.
But he's gone. Like, after tonight, he's gone.
Yeah.
Like you said, he's not going to be coming out to talk to Drake May. Or, you know, Terry Bradshaw last year was really, really tight with Pickett. And, in fact, he got mad at the Steelers and was like, he didn't screw up. You screwed him up. And he had a relationship with Pickett. And, like, he still has a relationship with quarterbacks. Tom Brady's never going to have that. He's going to have that with Geno Smith and whoever.
He has the ultimate Aiden O'Connell's behind him.
Okay, great.
That's the thing. But he has the ultimate conflict of interest. I still don't know, honestly. As much as I love Tom Brady and am grateful for everything that he brought me, my family, our friends, the station, the nation, everything. How in the world can the guy be the lead color analyst for one of the broadcast networks and an owner?
I just don't
get how that's like ESPN and the WWE and the NFL.
It's all blurred lines now.
It is. It's a conflict of interest mega merger of epic proportions.
No one cares anymore.
And it's a little bit of, you remember the old book, The Jordan Rules? It's the Brady Rules.
Yeah.
I'm sure if some people tried to pull that off, they'd be like, why are we going to let you do that?
Right.
But you're Tom Brady. You've been great for the league. You're the GOAT. You're the ambassador. You're this. You're that. You get to do what you want. So, yeah, we are coming up now and about 40 minutes away from
Woo-wee.
The Tom Brady statue being revealed by Robert Kraft and Tom Brady. Here in the plaza outside the hall at Patriot Place, just outside of Gillette Stadium. WEEI Afternoons is finishing things up here at the Dean College stage between Bar Louie and Citizen Crust. Come on down, say hello, pregame, get ready for Drake May's 2025 season debut. And up next, I made a promise to Ted Johnson. When he does research, when he gets out the legal pad, when he has stats and numbers and information, we use it. So Ted Johnson's 3 points of success for the 2025 Patriots, that's up next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, and for the final time today, Dan Ball, what's trending?
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com, brought to you by Cars for Kids. The Red Sox open up a 6-game road trip tonight. They begin a 3-game series in San Diego against the Padres. First pitch is at 9:40. Walker Buehler will start against Nick Pivetta. And you can listen to the game on WEEI FM 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. Mass Mutual pregame show with Christian Arcanis tonight at 8:40, and Will Fleming and Mike Monaco have the call of the series. From earlier this afternoon, the Red Sox claimed catcher Ali Sanchez off of waivers from the Toronto Blue Jays. Sanchez will meet the team in San Diego. He is a career 186 hitter and 46 games over the span of 4 seasons. The Celtics announced today that the team has signed head coach Joe Mazzulla to a multi-year contract extension. Mazzulla is coming off of his third season as Boston's coach and has guided the team to the playoffs in each season, including the franchise's 18th NBA title, to cap off the 23-24 campaign. The Patriots kick off the 2025 preseason tonight against the Washington Commanders. Kickoff is at 7:30. Commanders quarterback Jaden Daniels is not expected to play in the game this evening. Also on the NFL scoreboard tonight, the Lions are at the Falcons and the Browns are at the Panthers. Both games are kicking off at 7 p.m. And from around the league, Chargers Pro Bowl left tackle Rashawn Slater will miss the 2025 season with a ruptured patellar tendon that he suffered in practice on Thursday. Don't waste time trying to get rid of your old or broken car. Cars for Kids is the easiest and fastest way to donate your car and get a tax deduction. Go to carsforkids.org today. That's cars with a K. I'm Dan Ball. This is trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons live at Patriot Place coming up right after this.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
I would say most everybody that's healthy should expect to play in the game. How long they'll play, I don't know, but we have to prepare to play in football games and, you know, prepare to win football games. So that's the mentality that we're going to take.
His name is Mike Vrabel, head coach of the New England Patriots, getting ready for We haven't really touched on this, and I feel like we've kind of glossed over it. A lot of Drake May talk, different things. This is Mike Vrabel's first game coaching the Patriots. I know we just assume, well, he's been there, he's done that, but it's his first game, and it's a special place. You know, we saw him on the field going into the hall. Now he's going to be on the field standing in the sideline. The sideline you guys stood on with Bill Belichick as the coach to win. Now he's the big dog.
I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah,
time to get to work.
I get the sense that Mike really coveted this job, is now that he is the head coach is proud, and I think he sees an opportunity to cement his coaching legacy. I mean, this is if you're gonna want to, why not coach at the place you played that where you set records and you right. made history.
Well, and also that comment he made when one of the media members asked, like, what should we look for if you were in the media? And he's like, whoa, I'll never be in the media. When I'm done here, you witness protection. You won't find me. And
I mean, except for when he covered the draft, but we'll just
yes,
we'll ignore that.
We'll gloss over that. Yeah. But
yeah. Like, you know he'd crush it in the media. You know that, right?
Oh, 100%.
Oh, God.
But that answer he gave was sort of twofold. I think it gave the expectation, I'm going to be here for a little while, and then I'm going to retire.
Yep.
And I don't really plan on looking anywhere else to coach. Like, this is where I'm going to coach.
Like, it just looks like he's coaching hard. Like, you know yep. what I mean? That sounds weird. But it looks like he's always around. He's always thinking. He's always making moves. And you see how engaged he is when he's at practice. It just looks like this job means a lot to him. And his actions would suggest that.
WEEI Afternoons, we are live at the Dean College stage in Patriot Place between Bar Louie's Citizen Crust. Patriots preseason opener tonight against the Commanders, Tom Brady's statue. But most importantly, what does Ted Johnson think are the 3 points for success for the 2025 Patriots? He got caught up in a autograph line or something. He missed the 3-point stance earlier. He was all prepped, locked and loaded for it. So Ted Johnson, 3 points of success for the 2025 Patriots.
So I went below the surface in my analysis.
Deeper dive. That's what we call you. Deep dive Ted Johnson.
So, absolutely. Heard that a bunch.
There you go. Thank you for acknowledging that. So one of the top, I think, keys for the Patriots' success this year is when it comes to turnover margin. So it kind of covers, you know, obviously everything. So you can sit there and say, well, the defense needs to, you know, lead the league in turnovers or be top five. Or you can just say be a really good team in turnover margin, right?
Yeah.
The teams that ranked in the top 7 in turnover margin last year, Buffalo Bills, Steelers, the Chargers, Green Bay, Minnesota, Detroit, Philadelphia. Playoff teams?
Yep.
All of them, right? The best team was Buffalo at plus 24 last year. The Patriots ranked 28th in the NFL with a minus 11 turnover margin.
They were not a playoff team.
So, obviously, don't turn the ball over on offense and get the ball on defense. I just think you're one of the better teams in turnover margin. You're going to probably have a good season. Number two.
Wait, can I just ask you a question about that? So you guys had a lot of teams over the years, you and then some that followed different times. Turnover margin was a big thing, not just because Brady and company didn't turn it over, but the defense would get them in bunches.
Correct.
What is that all about? Like, is that just good players? Is that good scheme? Is it contagious? Is it aggressive? Like, do you face, you know, weak quarterbacks? You take advantage of them. How do you get to that spot?
Absolutely. I mean, if there's a quarterback that is lazy with the football or takes chances, what's the term? Do you know? You hear us old guys that play for the team say it all. What's he going to do? He's gonna throw you one. He's going to give you a chance to intercept his and there's just guys that they have decisions in games where you go, what the hell were they thinking?
Yep.
And so you identify what quarterbacks those are, and so you highlight it all throughout the week. But really, is you teams that are bad at something, if they're bad tackling teams, you know what makes them a better tackling team? It's practice tackling, right? So a team that is good at turning the ball over practices turning the ball over in practice.
Okay.
And so you got to emphasize it and make it a point. And then it usually happens in the game. So that's really how it is on the defensive side.
I'll presume that Mike Vrabel puts a premium on that.
Huge.
Okay. Two.
Huge. All right. So two is I'm a big believer in dominating third down. So his situational football, broken down, 2-minute red zone, third down offense. The top teams in third down conversions last year in the NFL. The Buccaneers, the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Lions, the Commanders, the Buffalo Bills, the San Francisco 49ers, and the Philadelphia Eagles. Anything they have in common?
A lot of good offenses.
All playoff teams.
Except for San Francisco.
Oh, shoot. All right. But San Francisco.
But they did have the DNA of a playoff team.
And injuries derailed them.
Absolutely.
And so you really want to be over 40%, ideally.
Yeah.
The Patriots were ranked 16th at 34%. You know what? Be good on third down. Getting a short and third down and manageable. So that's my second key to success. First one is just be a very good turnover margin team. The second one on offense, be a really good third down defense, offense. And Josh is excellent at scheming in those situations.
Call that the money down, right?
It's the money down.
Make your money.
It's usually the people that are on the field on third down are the ones that make the most money.
Yep. So we'll find out who those guys are as the year unfolds.
That's something I also wonder about with Drake. You've talked about it a couple times, the ability to make that short pass, make the easy one, make the one in third and manageable that keeps your offense moving. It's not a worry, but it's something where I think he has to grow this year.
And also probably have a trust in, can I throw, like, I think Tom Brady trusted Wes Welker, James White. Like, I can throw it 2 or 3 yards short of the sticks, and they will get the first down. Like, it doesn't always have to be beyond the sticks if I trust a guy to get beyond the sticks with the ball sometimes.
Right, right.
And I think Drake is at the point where he feels like, if we're going to get a first down, I got to get the ball past. I got to do it. It's going to be my arm and my throw that does it. Sometimes it might be Travion Henderson on a little wheel route or a swing pass, and I let him run with it.
Is that one of the more frustrating things is to see? I mean, when the Patriots' offense needs 5 yards for a first down and a receiver runs a 4-yard route,
yep,
Belichick has no pay. That is just teams
rookie
like
mistake,
that.
Short of the sticks.
All right, so the third and key to what I think is going to lead to the Patriots' success this year is, honestly, it comes down to Drake May. I was just thinking, what stat encapsulates kind of a good season for Drake that will lead to wins? I think his TD to interception ratio is important.
Yep.
And so I think it's got to be 3-1. Give me a 3-1 touchdown to interception ratio from Drake May. And you will win 9 to 10 games.
I don't mind that. 3-1.
So that's
extrapolate that out to 21-7.
27-9, I'd prefer.
I mean, sure, but I'm going to go, incremental growth from 10-10. I think you get over 22. I always
60-20.
Yeah. Just
that'd be cool too.
Relatively realistic.
So he had 15 touchdowns, 10 interceptions last year.
Yeah. Yeah.
So less more
that's
than
not
2-1. Yeah. So give me 3-1. Give me one of the better defenses, or excuse me, third down defenses, or excuse me, third down conversion rates on offense. And then lastly is be a very good turnover margin.
Of those three, which do you think will be the most difficult to attain for this football team as they kind of come together?
Probably the third down offense.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just, with an offensive line that's shaky and wide receivers and a young quarterback.
But I would also say the third down offense and the touchdown interception ratio, while a lot of that's Drake May, that's also, you said money down. It's also the money down for the star pass rusher who is going to be lined up across from Will Campbell or Marcus Bryant or DeMontre Jacobs, or over that blitz that the D coordinator has dialed up. He's not using it on first down, probably. He's using it on third down.
It's when third down is when you do see more exotic blitzes. You do. And so it is a test on both sides. It is definitely a money down for both sides, and it's a down that they got to be better at.
So if there's maybe two rookies on one side of the offensive line and an old defensive player says time to feast, that might be on third down the opportunity to feast.
It is the perfect time to feast. You really want to just break it down even more? Red zone third down.
Ooh, yeah.
Then it's but yes, obvious passing situations, third down and long. That is when that left side, if they're both rookies, will be tested by two-man games, three-man stunts, overload blitzes to that side.
Obviously, we're not going to see things that make us know whether those are going to come to fruition in November, December, or not tonight. But will you see samplings of that? Because they always say vanilla. Oh, the preseason is vanilla, so you can't really learn much. Is Ted Johnson going to learn something tonight?
I feel like defenses are starting to blitz more.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like they're not just running cover. Because I think so many teams, even their base defenses, have action where they're sending guys. It's not – a lot of teams aren't doing what we used to do, which is just 34 cover two.
Right.
It's a lot of teams – some of their bread and butter plays are where they send a fifth rusher. So it's almost theoretically a blitz and is their bread and butter type packages. So I think you'll see – some more exotic stuff on defense that will test this offense more than you think.
And obviously some of that is in light of you feel good about Will Campbell tonight, and maybe you're just like, well, Did they really test him? Did they really come after those guys? No. Or are we getting a false sense of security that maybe the Raiders, Max Crosby, T.J. Watt, some of these other guys that are on the pretty immediate early season horizon? But I'll be honest with you. I've always said I prefer false sense of security to poor play. That's a first step. False sense of security might actually build the confidence of the guy,
yeah.
And then it might become security, and then he might play better. You know, no one feels good after you get your butt whooped.
It implies progress.
Right.
It implies that something was shown that, all right, there's something we can build off of.
For the here and now,
yeah.
You may not be able to, like, extrapolate too far beyond it, but at least for the here and now, you did something well.
And right. I don't know. I've always felt like, okay, I know how we've played in preseason. I know how we played against each other, but when the games are real, how are we going to – it's you just don't know until you – I just right. kind of want to see what it looks like tonight. It's
– Absolutely.
You know, it's they're getting paid on the other side. It's a semi kind of feel of a game. Let's just see how they look and if they look like it's too – you know, that they're not focused or locked in, then I'll be worried because this is a game they clearly should, from an operational standpoint, look like they know what the hell they're doing.
WEEI Afternoons on the Dean College stage here at Patriot Place, just outside of Citizen Crust. If you need to come down, grab a slice of pizza or a drink real quick before the Tom Brady statue reveal ceremony. We're about 20 minutes away. Robert Kraft will speak. Tom Brady will speak. And then about an hour after that, we'll get some real football. We'll get Drake May in his debut for 2025. Mike Vrabel, his debut on a Patriots sideline at Gillette Stadium as the home coach. He's won here in the postseason. Now he's going to try to win here as the home coach in the preseason. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, Odds and Ends, where we look at a local Little League team that's making a name for itself and going national here. That's up next on WEEI Afternoons.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Gets away from the catcher. Here comes Fasoli. Fasoli now retreats. Now he runs home and he'll score the winning run. Braintree is going to Williamsport.
That was audio of the Braintree, Massachusetts American team beating the Bedford, New Hampshire team. Walk-off 3-2 win. The 12-year-olds are now 17-0 this summer, and they earned the right to go to Williamsport. We spoke with Coach Frizzoli the other day, so I'm assuming that his son Frizzoli scoring the winning run there. So that's pretty cool.
Very cool.
Coach, dad, son moment. That's just awesome. You know I'm a baseball guy a little bit. Actually, it was funny because we had talked maybe Brian Hoyer coming on the show today, and you were like, oh, he's off at Cooperstown with his kid. That is one of the great – we never had the opportunity to do the Williamsport thing, yeah. But we did the Cooperstown thing, and that is an unbelievable event, location, experience for a week. Parents, kids, it's awesome. But this Braintree team, going to the Little League World Series,
I think they're South Carolina's. They got in their first draw. So
yeah, that's.
I don't know how they play baseball down there in South Carolina, but they.
I bet it's good.
I'm sure it's good.
Yeah, I bet it's good. The further south
pitching,
you get, the
right?
more they play year round, and the better. But this Braintree team has been dominant. They were blowing people out. I know Bedford. That was a good game there, 3-2. But they've had some great pitching. When we talked to the coach the other day, he was saying they had three really good pitchers, and that's the key. Pitching depth. A lot of teams have the one good kid, and then you find out when you got to play the next game and he can't pitch. It's like, they're a lot more beatable when that kid's not on the mound.
I was watching their game against, I think it was Vermont on Monday morning. They went to the bullpen, kept it at zero, and that just allowed the offense to go and go and go, and they ended a mercy rule in him. So to your point, that's something, I mean, and you've coached it before. You have one great arm, that's good. Two is a pretty big rarity for some of those teams.
I find it so funny, and Cora said it the other day, just keep doing what you're doing and keep having that pitching. And it's
true.
It doesn't matter if you're at the lowest of leagues or the highest of leagues. If you have the best pitching, you got a really good chance to win.
Yeah.
Like, we love offense, and we love to score a boatload of runs, but eventually the offense will come because it's baseball. Just don't strike out 16 times, Alex Cora's Red Sox, like you've done too many times this season. Put the ball in play, and with your pitching doing their job, you'll eventually find a little bleeder or something here, a walk, a stolen base, and all of a sudden you put two or three runs on the board, and that's enough to win a baseball game. So that's cool. That's cool for the state. That's cool for that Braintree team. That's cool for those kids, and wish them good luck. Hopefully they – what's up?
It's up brother.
Sebastian Vollmer here at the Dean College. He's going to work.
Look at Sebastian.
He's going to go see Tom Brady.
Slim.
Look at how – he's a model.
I love the
sunglasses.
Look,
he's flexing.
My man. That is a good look right
lemonade
there.
Lemonade that I assume
Sebastian
is
Sebastian Vollmer, everybody.
It's a mocktail. It's
Vollmer
a mock.
Bats.
Yeah, we'll go mocktail with it, Sebastian.
Good seeing you, man.
Heading down to I heard Tom Brady was just down Patriot Place here at the Tom Brady card vault
very
earlier.
Cool, very
and he's
cool.
making his way down to the ceremony that starts
I believe
at 6.
Sebastian does color work, doesn't he?
He does
yeah.
for German.
German, yeah.
German color work.
Yep.
There's a flow of people. There's a flow of
Oh, we got a 52.
Oh, we got a Ted Johnson.
Got a 52 jersey.
Old school jersey.
Sure.
What's up, my man? There you go. Attaboy. Way
okay,
to represent.
It is. It's not a Landon Roberts. Just making sure. Just
that's a 98 jersey, probably.
Those I like those.
Those are your yeah. A lot of people
because that was like my high school heyday, like middle of the yeah youth movement there. That Ted Johnson was my hero, you're not like, my co-host here on WEEI Afternoons.
Really? I appreciate that. Yeah, no, that's sweet of you, man. I wasn't sure. I had to ask you.
Were you a hard-nosed?
I actually had to ask him, I think, on our trip to Green Bay. I'm like, were you a fan of mine?
Yes. Hard-nosed middle linebacker?
That's just because you can't find the copies of Patriots Football Weekly where he ripped
Ted Johnson, right. Sam Gash, the fullbacks, the linebackers. That
sure.
was little chubby Andy's heyday,
by
those
the,
kinds of
by
guys.
By the way, I'm going to say something that Ted won't. Shout out to Ted Johnson. He spent the last probably six commercial break
yes.
of the show taking pictures and
yes.
signing autographs with people.
We need
so.
Ted Johnson's yeah. card vault. People
I know.
Can show up,
seriously.
Get autographs,
man
take photos.
Man of the people, man.
No,
well
that was
done.
Very cool. And
yeah.
I think that's awesome. When you the my favorite one is a kid who never saw you play. I don't know if he was 4 years old, but he just looks up at you like,
yeah.
What the hell is that, Dad? And why are you telling me to go stand next to him? Like, he just is in awe of you. And that's a what'd you say earlier? Dad said to never.
No, he said, don't ever take it for granted, yeah. son, because there'll be a day when no one gives a poop, you know?
I don't think there ever will be.
Well, yeah. that, maybe not in this town.
You might get old, and you might get a little skinny, lose a little muscle, and then
yeah.
you just throw those rings on,
yep.
maybe, and then they're like, are those three? Are you? You're that guy. And that'll still that.
You know, but we gotta graduate. I want people to see me as a radio guy. I'd like to
well,
you know, be in this spot. Yeah.
Did you hear all those stats? We were talking about third downs and turnovers and breaking down what's going to be a good season. But I believe Christian Arcand is on the other end of the line right now looking to join us. I'm interested to get his perspective since I've been stuck between Fitzy and Johnson today talking about the statue and whether tonight is about Tom Brady or whether tonight is about the future. Christian Arcand, what are you looking for tonight?
I'm looking forward to seeing what this freaking statue finally looks like. It's just so much buildup for this that it's
yes.
got to either be the greatest statue ever or the worst statue ever. Anything mm-hmm. in between, I feel like, is going to be a bit of a disappointment.
Okay,
also, Andy, I hope you've enjoyed the being at a Patriots event with Ted Johnson experience. I see Dan Ball there has become the full-time photographer. You
yep.
and Fitzy are the bouncers. It's Ken Laird, also another bouncer down there. This is what life is like, traveling around with Ted, just so
absolutely.
You know. This is how it works.
Absolutely. And Dan Ball is also the handler. He's going to be like, guys, he's going to get back on the radio. It'll be about 10 minutes, and he'll be able to come back out,
he's
take a few
stretch.
More pictures.
Huge help.
Absolutely.
Huge help.
Odds and Ends is sponsored by Cars for Kids, your trusted charity for car donations. Also accepts donations of boats, RVs, motorcycles, and real estate. Call today, 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. That's Cars with a K. Christian Arcand, you just brought something up. It's got to be the greatest statue or the worst statue, whatever. I have this rule. If you're going to say something's the greatest, then you got to tell me what was the previous greatest. So what is the current greatest sports statue, I guess, in Boston sports, New England sports?
The Orr
Rocky Marciano
statue, maybe?
In Brockton?
The Rocky statue in Brockton's a pretty good
that's
one.
That's a pretty cool. It's a big
Bobby
one.
Orr?
Yeah,
Bobby
Orr
is definitely
good. Bill Russell, that's a good one too. The Tony DeMarco statue in the North End is a pretty good one. Of the boxer
mm-hmm.
there out in front of Mama
yep.
Maria's. I like that one.
Yep.
That might
yep.
be my that's the one I saw the most. So I'll say that one or Red Auerbach in Faneuil Hall.
Yes, I kind of like the red one. The red one's kind of cool because you can sit next to it, that thing. But the Rocky,
I used to bartend out there, and I used to see young women do disgusting things on that statue. I'm not even kidding. It was
really?
Oh, yeah. They were waiting to get into Ned Devine's. They'd be doing lap dances on the red statue.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That was a big thing in the 2000s. Yeah.
Oh, the things that people are going to do to Tom Brady statue.
What man. Is got to people? You mean Fitzy.
You got to put a Ring vid camera on
yeah,
that thing.
The thing that Fitzy, who had to leave early in case you didn't notice, to get
to
a close
give
spot
the statue a
next
left
to the yes or,
Christian
or,
he left early he left 2 seconds
he did
ago
he left to go get close to the statue. But Christian, so you have not a full show tonight, but you got a what 3 hours leading up to a late Red Sox baseball game. We've dubbed it a sneaky big baseball game. Do you agree?
Yeah, it's a huge road trip here. You got three games against San Diego. It's a team that loaded up at the deadline and really made some big moves, tried to make a big move with you to get Jaren Duran. They had pitching to offer and catching prospect. Red Sox just signed a catcher today. We'll talk about all that, and we'll have Tom King, who's down there where you are, and we'll talk with him about the Brady statue and preview this game tonight.
Perfect. Stick around for the Christian Arcan Show leading up to the 9:40 Red Sox start in San Diego. That's going to do it for WEEI Afternoons. Thank everybody here at Patriot Place, at Citizen Crust for their internet access, Dean College Stage. Good one, boys. Enjoy the night, whether you're worried about the statue or you're worried about Drake May. Enjoy that there is an exciting, buzz-filled football game here in Foxborough again. Good times. We'll be back on Monday with Drake May, our first Drake May interview of the year. Patriots Monday. We'll be here 2 to 6. Talk to you then.
I am Tom Brady, and I am a Patriot.